the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it's Friday, April 10th, 2020. 2 days until this all ends.
One day until the start of the NBA playoffs.
Oh, that's right. what current seeding? What's the current seeding?
The Lakers are number one, baby, yeah. In the West.
I mean, we should just declare them the winner, I think.
I think, because the East historically has always been bad, so they don't count.
Yeah.
Just like how Liverpool won the Champions League.
Did they win the Champions League?
They were two games away from having clinched the Champions League.
Whoa.
This was early in the season. I think they'd only lost like one game. But since the rest of the season is canceled, they won't get their first title in 40 years or some Chicago Cubsian-like amount of time. Right. Some Sacramento Kingsian-like amount of time.
I'm surprised that... there were some NBA 2K like matchups, is that right? Like where they had basketball players playing 2K?
Yeah, did you watch those?
No, I did not.
Well, they're bad.
Yeah.
It's bad because it doesn't seem like a single NBA player has a good audio setup in their house.
Uh-huh.
So everybody's just like recording off of their computer in their living room, and right. It's echoey and miserable because NBA players don't decorate their houses. They just rent a house or an apartment somewhere in the city and then don't put anything on the wall, so everything echoes. The trash talk was terrible, and a lot of these guys are not good at NBA 2K.
And I bet on every team there is a seventh or eighth player on the roster that is incredible at it.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, you got to like in the 1-16 matchup, which they matched up everybody in the tournament based on their rating in 2K.
Oh, Lord.
So it was Kevin Durant versus Derrick Jones Jr., and Derrick Jones Jr. Beat Kevin Durant by 30 points.
Of course.
But, I think the very funny thing is to see these guys play as teammates or as teams that they are not on.
Uh-huh.
So in 2K, much like in a fighting game or in a different type of game that you're playing, different teams are better than other teams. So... Mm-hmm. A lot of the teams were picking the Bucks because they're really good and they have Giannis, or the Lakers, or Kevin Durant played as the Clippers.
Uh-huh.
So just very strange to see these players playing as different teams, because that to me just seems weird.
Yeah.
But it overall, this whole tournament thing, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work specifically because these guys aren't good at NBA 2K like NBA 2K pros are. Like the NBA has their own esports league.
Right.
Why not just put some of those guys up there?
Well, could you do a thing where, like a pro-am kind of thing, where Kevin Durant and one of those guys?
Absolutely could. You absolutely could do that, and that would be way better because, because those guys actually, they play 5-on-5, right? So when you play in the NBA E-League.
Oh, it's actually five guys.
It's five guys. It's 5-on-5.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right? Just like League of Legends, just like Dota, it's 5-on-5. So just imagine basketball is like Dota, but, better.
Well, I have thought about, first of all, that's an insane statement. I have thought about, so I bought a game called Dreams for the PS4.
Oh, you got the Dreams.
Have you played this?
I mean, I haven't played it, but I've seen videos. I don't have the I want to build this game in me from, that doesn't appeal to me.
I don't really either, but I'm fascinated by the games that it's possible to build with this program. And I have thought about what if I try to build my basketball Dota mashup?
Oh.
Maybe I would do
Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden 2, the Dota edition.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually thinking a 3-on-3 street basketball game where the cool thing about Dota is that there's all the heroes have different abilities.
Yeah.
So I think you could think of lots of cool abilities for different basketball heroes to use.
Yeah, absolutely. And you might even be able to call it something like NBA Street.
Yeah,
which was the original 3-on-3 abilities arcade style basketball game.
Yeah, but this would be abilities like teleporting or,
Oh, dude, then you never played Mario Hoops 3-on-3 for the Nintendo DS?
I must have. Oh, there was some teleporting in that, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, so like the Boo ghost could teleport, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Dota, by the way, Dota 2 has been patching like crazy.
I mean,
lots of patches.
What else is there to do but to patch your favorite battle arena games?
Yep. And I have, for those of you out there who play this game, I've recently started playing Queen of Pain at the mid roll.
Whoa, that's wild. I hear she's really good at mid, but she's not so good at jungling.
She's okay at jungling. There's in Dota, there's not really a jungling role the way there is in League of Legends.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, there's too much stuff going on in the top and the mid. You know, you got to let them solo bottom, but it's crazy.
You rarely let someone solo bottom.
It's funny because, to somebody who has no idea what they're talking about, I can jumble mash all those words together. Yeah, exactly. And like, oh, this guy knows. I've never played Dota.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Overwatch, you know.
Ah, yes.
You know, if you main a tank, well then.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't main tank. I main support because obviously Zendaya is the best tank support there. Wait, is
it really Zendaya?
Like, no, it's not Zendaya.
Zendaya is Michi. Yeah.
No, the what's the name of that Overwatch character? I don't know. It's something like Zendaya.
But did I mention this last time that I bought a gaming PC?
No, you did not.
My friend wants me to play Overwatch, and I tried playing it in Shadow PC, which is a cloud-based. And it's just too hard to play these games.
It's Zenyatta.
Zenyatta.
Damn. Because like when I did play, because when Overwatch came out, I played it, and I had a lot of fun. And I liked Zenyatta the best. That was my favorite character.
But anyway, these games are too hard to play through a cloud service.
Oh yeah, no way.
So actually, you know, this has been the case for probably 10 years. It's not very, I mean, yes, in the, it is expensive to get a PC, but getting a good gaming PC is not, in the grand scheme of the PC world, very expensive these days.
No, I mean, you can build yourself a good gaming PC for $700-$800.
Yeah.
It's not going to be top of the line. You aren't going to get your 4K, but you'll get 1080p 60fps no problem.
I bought one for $800, and it's getting 4K on it.
4K 30, 4K 60.
I think Dota doesn't. Dota runs a 60. Yeah, but Dota is also an older game that doesn't is not super stressful. I haven't tried running like Call of Duty, the new one, on it.
Yeah.
I only say that because I have built a few PCs in my time, and I think I'm past the point in my life where I'd need to do that anymore.
Ah, okay, that's fair. I relish the challenge of building a PC. I think it's a fun thing to do.
I've built, if you relish it, I was going to say, because I built maybe one, I think I built one PC and I built two Hackintoshes.
Oh, yeah, dude, Hackintoshes. I built three Hackintoshes in my life. One for me, two for my parents. Huge mistake.
Those are rough, because as soon as the system gets updated, it gets patched, and you're like, oh, yeah, this doesn't work anymore?
Yes, yeah. It's a lot of, like, there were multiple days in my life where I just, like, spent 24 hours trying to fix my Hackintosh after an update and being, like, praying, like, I'm never going to have a computer again. I'm just going to be broken.
Yeah.
And, like, the computer that I have now is a PC that used to be a Hackintosh. Still has a Mac partition somewhere, but I just never pull it up or run it, because it's running like macOS 10.7. Right. It's like, who cares?
I will say, being exposed to a lot of Windows again, I still don't like that system. I mean, I worked on Windows for like decades at my old day job, and I just, the fact that I'm still seeing some of the same settings panels that I did like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just, if I feel embarrassed for them.
Hey, this is a C and D conversation, so control alt delete your way out of it.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the basketball in a second. I will just say that the headset, real simple example, this headset that you can see me on Zoom wearing, it has a microphone on the right.
Yeah.
And I would prefer it to be on the left, and it rolls where it can go to the full other side.
Yeah.
In on the Mac, you go to the MIDI setup and speaker setup, and you switch left and right.
Very easy.
Do it on a PC. Nope, you can't.
You can't go into the key registry and change up your old.
I might be able to go into the registry, or there's might be a third party program I can download, or I can potentially get a beta driver for the sound card that will let me do this.
But what if you instead take your left ear and you put it on your right ear?
Yeah,
that's your what right I ear do. And put it on your left ear. That's probably quicker.
Actually, what I ended up doing was giving up on the idea and just wearing it on this side because that's what the PC does.
You know, hey, sometimes we got problems, and you know who definitely has problems?
Is Eric Scott?
Eric Scott, all the characters in our movie of the week, High Flying Bird, on Netflix. The first 30 minutes of this movie, I did not enjoy it. And then right around that 30-minute mark, I was like, okay, I'm vibing with this. And by the end of the movie, I was like, I'm in. I'm all in. This is a fun – it was a heist movie set in the NBA. That's what it was. And it was really, really happy to just like – because, like, man, it's that Soderbergh slow burn.
Yeah.
You know, and he does that in so many of his movies. And to see him do it in this movie, in this way, and I wasn't expecting it. I should have been expecting it. I should have expected it. But it was. I recommend this movie. If you are watching it and you're like, this is slow, I don't like it, keep going. That's my recommendation.
I like Steven Soderbergh a lot. I agree with you. I did not like the first 30 minutes of this movie. And then where I disagree with you is I didn't like the rest of the movie either.
Okay. All right. Got it.
But I'm a big Steven Soderbergh fan, and I think this is worth watching just because it's kind of interesting. And I think it's interesting that it was shot on an iPhone.
Yeah.
For me, just this movie continuously felt like it was, felt inauthentic. Like almost at every step of the way, I was like, this can't really be how it is. Like it constantly felt like somebody writing something about something they don't actually know that much about. Not that I know that much about these things, but even down to like, we're going to assume if you're listening to our podcast that you've seen the movie. If not, you should pause and watch it and then come listen to this.
Or pause and don't watch it because Chris doesn't recommend.
No. I think it's worth watching, especially in a quarantine. Why not? Yeah. What else are you going to do? Even down to things like we're going to pitch that we're going to sell one-on-one videos of people on Snapchat or something like that. Just felt like, that's not really that's not something that the league would suddenly be like, okay, we got to end this lockout right away.
That I agree with you. It was a work of fiction.
Yeah.
You're right, and that the things that happened in this movie probably would not happen in real life.
And I think that generally, I think that what hurts that in this movie is that this movie kind of tries to present itself as a, hey, this is how it really is. We've got interviews with real players, which I enjoy. I enjoyed those interviews. Nice to see some of those faces again.
Exactly.
And then the other thing was just a real small thing was like the number one pick in the draft shows up at your basketball camp and all the kids are just kind of like, oh, cool. Like they were literally just like slow, just like, oh, whatever. Here's this
dude. That is a little inauthentic.
If Zion Williamson showed up at your basketball summer camp,
I mean, it would have been wild.
Yeah.
Wild. I mean, but maybe they just couldn't pay those extras to be like that enthusiastic that day.
It is extra.
I mean, they did shoot the movie on an iPhone. Like, what's the budget? Yeah. What's the budget? So here's the thing that I didn't realize until after the movie. Did you know who wrote this movie?
The guy who wrote Moonlight.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, yes. Moonlight to me felt very authentic.
Yes.
And I can hear where you're coming from, where this felt a little inauthentic to the actual NBA experience.
Yeah.
But to me, it felt like it was using the NBA as like a setting for a parable.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think that it might be more enjoyable for someone who doesn't follow the NBA.
Yeah, because you would watch this movie and go, oh, wow, the behind the scenes, the machinations, the all the pieces matter kind of stylings of like, you know, he's got a big idea. He's got big plans. He's moving his way forward. Something's happening. Something's up. You know, they told us in the movie that something was up. Something was going on. And, you know, and then they pulled away to where the heist was, where it took place, literally in the middle of a bathhouse. He planted the seed of, like, the love of the game, You know, that was what he did. He was like, you know what? This guy loves the game. He may be being an asshole about the business right now when he, you know, meets up with McLaughlin, Kyle McLaughlin.
Yeah, McLaughlin. What's his name?
Kyle McLaughlin.
By the way, I think I like their performances in this movie. I did a commercial with Andre Holland years ago.
Oh yeah,
he's a very nice guy.
That's awesome.
He's great in Moonlight. He's great in the Nick.
Ah.
Oh, I highly recommend the Nick if anybody wants to see a great Soderbergh Andre Holland collaboration.
Yeah.
I actually found his character kind of unconvincing in this movie, in the sense that there are times in this movie where I felt like they wanted Aaron Sorkin to write this turn of the tables or this clever retort or something.
Uh-huh.
And one of the moments I thought that was in the end, he kind of wins against
Zachary Quinto.
And that was a moment where I felt like, instead of feeling like a Sorkin-esque, like, oh, what a brilliant endgame maneuver, he's really beating this guy, Zachary Quinto's character was so kind of weak that it felt more like a Dixie Carter designing women speech about how amazing she is. And then the other person just kind of like, goal, I got nothing to say. Whereas I enjoy when the opponents are sort of worthy adversaries.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I mean, it felt to me like that guy at the thing just didn't understand the NBA. I mean, yeah, he was just like, I just work for the agency firm. Who cares? You know, that agency had always taken the NBA for granted.
So I guess I like it when it's like two viewpoints that are kind of both valid, as opposed to one, like, this is the guy who has the authentic, the real connection to the sport, and this is the money-grubbing suit that doesn't understand it at all.
Yeah, like when Zachary Quinto is Spock and somebody else is Kirk. Like, Zachary Quinto could have been more Spock-like in this.
Well, you know, in Star Trek, Spock and Kirk are, like, presented as, you know, two alternative ways of looking at the universe.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really say one is right or one is not.
Yeah, they're perfect foils and friends.
Yes, they get along anyway.
Wow.
I also found the very small footage of basketball in this movie to be not convincing.
it felt
avoidant, the cutting of the basketball footage.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair because, you know, this is not really a basketball movie.
Yeah.
You know, just like White Man Can't Jump is not really a basketball movie because it's a Jeopardy movie.
But White Man Can't Jump has better basketball in it than
yes.
Like, I understand the misdirect of, like, we're not going to show the climactic one-on-one battle between Eric Scott and his opponent. I forget what that guy's name is. But the guy playing the other character had a pretty small part, so it seems like you should cast someone who's, like, a really good basketball player so we could see a little bit of that.
I mean, it seemed to me like Steven Soderbergh, in all the minor roles, just cast people who he knew. He was like, hey, I got 20 minutes of work for you to do. Please, 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 please. I'm shooting this on an iPhone, and I don't have any money.
Yeah. By the way, the footage looks great.
So I don't know if this is my setup or whatnot, but or like if it was an intentional choice, but so many shots were blown out.
Oh, you mean overexposed?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that at all. I wonder if...
it could just be my setup. But, like, every time they were in a, in a windowed high-rise, like, a lot of the way that it looked to me was, like, a little blown out. And it could be, like, you know, my HDR settings are wrong on my TV or something. But, like, it looked like it was either a choice or a limitation.
Interesting.
And I couldn't tell whether or not that was the case.
I mean, for sure, this was shot on an iPhone 8. For sure, an iPhone 8 is not up to the specs that Netflix typically requires for their mm-hmm. projects. Because Netflix has put out, as somebody who has a camera that makes some HD stuff, Netflix put out like a specific list of like, these are the cameras we want you to use to create content for us because they have the... not the resolution, but the what's the thing where it's like the measure of like the bit rate, how much video information per second it's putting through?
Yeah.
They want it at a certain level. And there's no way the iPhone 8 meets that. So, but this was shot on an iPhone 8 with a lens from Momentum, which is a company that makes these little, you can snap them onto your iPhone. I believe they made a custom one, but I think it's an anamorphic lens, which is how he can do sort of like the widescreen look.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny, like for it being an iPhone, I thought on my side it looked good, but also like I'm also aware of like the sound setup and like, you know, everybody had their own lav mics and like, it's almost like, sure, it was an iPhone, but like every other part of this was like very pro.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And hey, you know, an iPhone, now they have the iPhone Pro, so Soderbergh's probably just going hog wild.
Yes. Oh, and the last thing I read was that the app they used was Filmic Pro.
Filmic Pro, yeah. And Filmic, last time they had a big iPhone thing, they were like, all right, well, Filmic's here with their, you can film all three at once. And
yes.
You know, you got the whole big Filmic thing.
That was actually the reason I bought an iPhone Pro. And have never used that feature.
Wow! Congratulations! Now just, you just have a phone.
Another of those features that, you know, like those live photos. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. that I like live photos because
you still use them.
Oh yeah! Every photo I take is a live photo.
Oh.
Because you know sometimes you want to just like capture like a little bit before, a little bit after, and it's cute or fun, especially when you're taking pictures of the cats.
Oh, okay. Because you also might not
a quick GIF.
You also might not capture the exact moment, so it's good to have a little.
That's true. The if you ever have to change the primary scene on the photo, it never looks as good. But you know, that's just how it works.
Okay, wait. Talking about somebody that's not Zendaya.
Mm-hmm.
Zazie Beetz.
We said that at the same time on my end. Was I a little delayed on yours?
A little bit, but...
Okay, well, we said it. I heard where you were going.
On your side, it was good enough for, like, to put on a John Krasinski Sunday News.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think she's great. I enjoyed her in this movie. And, I mean, I don't think I've not enjoyed her in anything that I've seen her do.
From my memory, I've only seen her in this and Deadpool.
Okay.
In Deadpool, I was like, I want more of that character.
Yeah. She was so good in Deadpool.
Yeah. I don't know what else she's been in.
She's in Atlanta.
Oh, so now Atlanta is something I've not seen at all.
Bro.
You've told me to watch.
Yeah. Atlanta is so good.
So I will definitely check that out.
She was really good in Joker.
Oh, right. She was the neighbor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I have seen her.
Yeah.
That was a pretty low-key part.
Yes, it was.
What did you think of... I mean, I liked Andre Holland in this. What did you think of the guy who played Eric Scott?
So I recognized him, of course, from the other stuff that he's been in.
I don't remember him. What else he's done.
Did you watch American Vandal Season 2?
I have not.
Okay, well, he's one of the main characters in American Vandal Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he was big on social media. That was his, like, he was a Vine guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. And I did not know him from that either, although I did watch Vine a lot.
Yeah. I mean, so, you definitely saw him on Vine. And that's one of the things about American Vandals. They got a lot of people who were big on social media as people. I thought he was good. I don't know if I believed him as being a basketball guy, mm-hmm. but
I thought he was pretty good. I didn't really buy him as a professional basketball player just because of his build, honestly.
Yeah.
His build is a little bit slight.
Yeah.
And I would say that somebody who has that build that was in the NBA would probably be like 6 inches taller than he was.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Durant has that build too, but is not a normal, like a regular folk height.
Yes. Way. Yeah. And he specifically in American Vandal, he plays a basketball star, but a high school basketball star. Right. So that makes sense, right? Yeah. But to be like a number one pick, yeah, of course not. But, you know, it's real tough to get a guy who looks like a basketball player to be a pretty significant role in a movie.
That being said, see, yeah, I was just gonna say Markelle Fultz is actually 6'3".
Okay,
so he's not a giant.
No, he's not. But he also, I don't know. I mean, that's a good point. Who knows? Who knows, man?
He also, in the same site that I was looking at, has a wingspan of 6'9".
That's okay. That's a lot. That's a big span right there.
And I think also that like, it's significant to have a wingspan that's more than your height, right?
Yeah.
It means, yes, I guess you have very long arms.
Yeah. So another movie that we had Melvin Gregg in was The Way Back.
I assume, was he a basketball player in this too?
He was a basketball player in that as well. A high school basketball player who was not as good as as he thought he was.
I was going to say he can play basketball players of all different ages, but a first round draft pick is probably 19.
Yeah.
So going from then that one, he's probably playing a 17-year-old. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have been interested in this movie if they got someone, if they did like a He Got Game approach.
If they had Ray Allen do it.
Well, like, specifically Ray Allen in 2019.
with his quarantine hair.
When he did He Got Game, was he a professional already?
Or yes. Okay. Yeah, he was.
If they had gotten somebody that was like, even like a second round NBA draft pick that was a decent enough actor, and then they cast the sort of veteran New York guy as like someone that's been in the league 2 years, like a real person. And I feel like there's lots of players in the league that would want to be actors. Especially I think Steven Soderbergh and Netflix would be enough to bring in some, you know, you might not be able to get, you know,
I mean, that's interesting, right? Because he did get basketball players to be in the movie.
Yes.
Right, as in those like interview segments in between on coming into the league.
Cat.
He got some people to be there. He got Cat. He got
this
Donovan
movie,
Mitchell.
This movie starts Reggie with Jackson. This movie starts with the best player out of all of them, Reggie Jackson.
best Clipper all time, Reggie Jackson.
So even like Donovan Mitchell, I would be interested to see him act this part. You know,
Donovan Mitchell's corny as hell, though. He's not. There's no way Donovan Mitchell's a good actor.
Well, that brings up the only basketball news that I have for you, which is Donovan Mitchell.
Friendship ended with Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, the Donovan Mitchell Gobert. Did you read this article in The Athletic?
No, because I still haven't gotten your Athletic login.
I think that's expired, but I also think this article is unlocked. Maybe
it was not for me.
I was able to read that. So maybe I do have Athletic still going. Let me look that up.
Check your credit card statement. See if they're still billing you $14.99 a month or whatever.
They probably are. So Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell have a strain in the relationship that apparently cannot be salvaged.
Yeah.
Is what the quote of the day is. How do you feel about this?
I mean, do they have to be friends to play basketball together?
They don't.
So what's the big deal? I mean, what's the big deal from a basketball standpoint? I don't know. I think that they'll get along fine. There are plenty of people who famously were not friends and won championships together.
Mm-hmm.
I think in today's NBA, it's a little more of a big deal than it has been in the past because, you know, teams they feel like they're closer now than they have been in the past. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I understand him being upset with Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
I mean, that totally makes sense to me. You know, this disease is no joke. And Donovan Mitchell is very close with his family. And not knowing if he had it or didn't have it, he probably feels like he could have spread it to somebody who might be vulnerable without knowing. And that's something that it's hard to get over. Somebody flagrantly flaunting social guidelines like Rudy Gobert did.
Yeah.
Like, to just have that happen so flagrantly. Because it's wild, right? Rudy Gobert, in acting the way that he did, having COVID and canceling the NBA season, saved so many lives in this country, truly. Like, that's what I mean, that's truly what I believe in, that, like, if, like, that is the turning point for me for when I was like, oh shit, I have to take this very seriously. Yes. And I think that that's the turning point for a lot of people that were like, oh shit, we have to take this seriously.
Well, I don't think that the issue is that he got the virus.
I mean, I guess because I didn't read the article because I don't have your Athletic subscription.
Well, I'm about to send you I just looked on the Athletic. First of all, in December, they charged me $60 for a year. So I have it for a year. But I have five 30-day guest passes.
Wow.
I'm about to text you one. And then I have
congratulations.
I have four more of these.
Oh, for listeners of the pod.
For listeners of the pod to have a 30-day pass to the Athletic. Wow. So this is what I'll say about this article. Quinn Snyder is, I guess, from Seattle.
Okay.
But has a connection to Seattle and was more aware of the situation earlier than most people, and was talking to the team about COVID-19 from like early March. And they had regular updates for the team about, like, you know, change your behavior. This, so Quinn Snyder and the Jazz were taking it very, very seriously before any of us were. So I think that is a factor as to why Donovan Mitchell felt like Gobert's behavior was very, like, it's not just like they're all fucking around and then they heard about COVID-19 and then he made a joke. Like, they had been bombarded by Quinn Snyder and the team about the topic for like weeks before he touched all those microphones.
Got it.
So I think that it's not the issue that he caught the virus, because he might have gotten it. He had visitors from France right before that. They're also not sure if Mitchell had it and gave it to Gobert. That's very possible as well.
But
I think the issue is his cavalier attitude towards it. And by that, I mean they should trade him to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, let me give you the cynical take on this. The cynical take is it possible that this is overblown? There's not a big rift between Mitchell and Gobert, but this justifies the Jazz trading him away before having to sign a giant contract very soon.
I mean, it certainly could. I hope that it doesn't.
Now, you know more about this than I do, but is he up for a Supermax contract?
I don't believe he's up for a Supermax contract. I think he's just up for a Max contract.
Is the Supermax the one that's connected to, like, if you're
All-NBA, MVP, yes, that kind of thing? Yes.
I believe somebody said, this is the extent of sourcing that I do, that it's potential that he can get All-NBA and qualify for that. But anyway, he's got one more year on his contract. 2020-21 is his final year, and that he'll be making $25 million. And then after that, he's free to do whatever he wants. So, you know, he's an expiring contract, and would the Jazz rather trade him or...
Well, he's going to be a restricted free agent, too.
He doesn't show that on the Hoops Hype salary page.
For Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert?
For Gobert.
Oh, no, Gobert is not going to be a restricted.
Yeah.
Gobert can leave, yeah.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell is on a great contract, and they'll definitely, you know, try to... I mean, next year he's making $5 million, so they'll want to keep him. Gobert's making $25 million. Let's see. According to this article, Rudy Gobert is eligible for a Supermax. Qualified for Supermax by making the All-NBA team in 2019.
Oh, hey, there we go. Congratulations to Rudy.
So then the question is, do the Jazz want to sign him at a Supermax, and is this maybe a way out of it?
Yeah, because I don't think Rudy Gobert is a Supermax player.
Yeah.
I think he's a good player, maybe even a Max player, because Max players are, you know, they're... more of them than they should be. But I don't know. I don't know if it gives him leverage to sign for the Supermax. Do you get rid of him? I don't know. What's the what's the package around the league that's like, oh, well, we'll trade Rudy Gobert for that? Like, how many first-round draft picks? What kind of players? Like, what's the deal with the Rudy Gobert trade life like?
Yeah. Question for you. Do you know the players that have received Supermax contracts?
Derrick Rose?
Really?
Did he? I don't know.
I think this is a relatively new construction, isn't it?
Okay, because I think it might have been like that he was the first one to get it in there because he got MVP and he was eligible for it. I could be wrong.
I'm looking at a list that has four players that got Supermax, and then it says who could receive one. And this was written last year, so I bet a few of these did.
Okay. But
as of last year...
Karl Anthony Towns.
He is not on this list.
Hmm.
Two of these players play for the same team.
Wow. James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
That's right.
Okay. And then John Wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. I would never in a million years have guessed John Wall.
Yeah, no, I mean...
He's one of the top four players in the league.
No, he was a Supermax player for Washington before he died.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think who the last Supermax guy would be. Who could it be? All right, give me a hint.
He is one of my favorite players.
Okay.
And our show's title references him in a way, or our branding references him.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry.
There we go.
Now, then in this article, which is from 2019, it says, who could receive one this summer? And it says Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Giannis.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard and Kemba Walker were eligible last summer to receive Supermax offers.
Got it.
I don't know if those four did.
Anthony Davis turned it down. Mm-hmm. Kemba Walker turned his down because they didn't offer it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And who were the other two?
Giannis and Damian Lillard.
Giannis did not take the Supermax. Giannis took, I think, something smaller, and I believe Damian Lillard took a little bit less than the Supermax.
Interesting. I mean, yeah. Those seem like moves that are meant, you know, gesturing towards team composition. That is my assumption. Like, that's why Anthony Davis took a little less, right?
No, I mean, he did not take the extension at all because he got traded to LA. He didn't want to take the extension.
Oh, wait, can't do a Supermax like as a sign and trade kind of thing? Or
No. Supermax is a, like I guess you could sign it and then be traded 6 months after you sign it.
But not like this immediate turnaround.
Correct, yeah.
So then the question is, the thing is, Rudy Gobert is not as good as Curry, Harden, Westbrook, Giannis, Anthony Davis, even Lillard, Kemba Walker. He's as good as John Wall, isn't he?
Yes, he is. But that the John Wall stuff, that's just, I'd say 3 out of 4 of those Supermax players, or maybe 4 out of 5 of them, have panned out well and one of them hasn't. And I think that's just like general, that's how it works with contracts in the NBA.
Honestly, that's not a bad ratio for contracts generally.
Mm-mm.
By the way, Paul George, because he did not make all NBA with the Indiana Pacers, did not qualify for a Supermax.
He did not qualify. Wow. Yeah. Ooh.
So, do we have a movie for next week?
I have not picked one, but I think we could definitely figure something out.
Let's pick one.
What do you want to watch?
Maybe let's go older.
Okay.
I haven't seen Hoosiers in a long time.
Wow.
I did think of one that wasn't on our list before that is really only tangentially related to basketball.
Yeah.
That is The Great Santini with Robert Duvall.
Oh.
I've never seen this. It's a very intense drama that is apparently a lot about father issues.
Yeah.
Which probably a lot of our listeners can relate to. And has apparently a very kind of brutal father and son basketball scene in it.
Ooh. What about What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Does it have basketball in it?
It does. It does have basketball in it. There's a scene where he's like crying in the locker room.
I don't remember that at all. Where is Johnny Depp crying?
No. Leonardo DiCaprio is.
I don't remember him playing basketball in that movie. You sure that's not from Basketball Diaries?
A teenager finds his dream of becoming a basketball star threatened after falling into...
That's Basketball Diaries, isn't it? What's Eating Gilbert Grape is about? Johnny Depp and Leonardo DiCaprio playing a disabled boy. Like learning... cognitively disabled character.
Yeah, you're right. It is definitely the Basketball Diaries.
I would have loved it, actually, if we had made everybody watch What's Eating Gilbert Grape. And then at the end...
There's no basketball in this one.
That would have been a good weekly episode, actually.
Yeah, it was funny.
There's also a fish that saved...
A fish called Wanda?
No, yeah, fish called Wanda. No, the fish that saved Philadelphia or something that has Dr. J in it. That's
another movie. You know what we should do? We should watch Enter the Dragon.
You're right. You know, we should just watch Apocalypse Now.
Enter the Dragon has Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, that's true, actually. That's actually not a bad pick.
That's a basketball movie.
The fish that saved... Oh, Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, I should say.
Okay.
While we're thinking about this, I will say that I procured a copy of Amazing Grace and Chuck, which has Alex English from the Denver Nuggets in it. So I will be finding a way to distribute that very shortly.
Nice.
So what are we thinking?
I mean, what's that one? The one that's not Coach Carter. There was Glory Road. Do you remember Glory Road?
No, I've not seen Glory Road.
Yeah.
This is... who is that? Is that like...
it's Josh Lucas.
Josh Lucas. Okay. Glory Road. Let me see where I can see this.
Looks like if you have Cinemax, that's the...
Or it's $3 on Amazon Prime. I think I actually have... You know how Amazon Prime will occasionally be like, here's a dollar for digital products.
Yeah.
And I've never used them.
You probably have $400 in Amazon.
Let's do Glory Road.
All right. Love it.
Produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. So I'm sure there's going to be very subtle, closely observed, intimate drama.
It was certainly... Yeah, definitely.
Actually, on the Jerry Bruckheimer tip, Eric and I started watching The Amazing Race.
Oh, no.
Which I've seen some of, but yeah. 29 seasons of it are available for free on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
So we started season one, episode one, The Amazing Race.
And you are loving it.
Yeah, it's fun. Actually, I've seen it before. The Amazing Race is a very good show. And really not... I actually appreciate these competitive reality shows like The Amazing Race or, more recently, The Circle, that are actually not very backstabby.
Yeah,
they're just kind of like, this is just a hard race. Like, it's just hard to do the things they've set for you. So there's really not much interpersonal drama. There's personal drama within the teams. Because, for example, one of them is a couple that has a child that has been separated for a year. And they're going on this contest to see if they can get back together. And they very clearly should not get back together. but there isn't that much like... Oh, I'm going to steal this thing from this other person and really, you know, like that kind of gamesmanship.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of like this more.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You know what else is streaming for free now?
What?
Something that our listeners know that you are a fan of.
Ooh.
Apple TV has decided to unlock some of its Apple TV Plus shows.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is Dickinson.
Hey, Dickinson, which we ended up finishing all, I think, 12 episodes of.
Yeah.
Is terrific. And I believe it has been renewed for a second season.
Excellent. So, yeah, that's going to be on my list. Because, you know, I don't have any shows this week. But I do have time to watch some shows.
Now, I will say about one out of every four people that I've recommended that to hates it. So
that's funny.
That's within the realm of possibility.
Well, I don't think I'm going to hate it, but we're going to give it a try, especially because it is F-R-E-E free.
Yeah. Eric liked Haley Steinfeld so much that I downloaded the movie True Grit.
Oh, had he not seen True Grit before?
He had not seen it.
Oh, God. Seen it.
He's not seen it. And I had not seen it since it was in the theaters.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
Have you seen it recently?
No, I have not.
I mean, it definitely holds up. It's just like there were large portions of that movie that I forgot about.
I feel like I took my dad to see it. I was like, True Grit, a John Wayne remake. Uh-huh. I'm taking my dad to see this movie.
Oh, it seems like a very good dad movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. And anyway, my dad kind of looks like Jeff Bridges.
Oh. In True Grit or in Big Lebowski?
He's had phases. So both. He's had the Lebowski phase and he's had another phase.
I would highly recommend rewatching True Grit in 2020. Hailee Steinfeld is incredible in it.
Yeah. Rad.
So we've all got some, but most importantly, we got to watch Glory Road this week.
Yes, that is our movie of the week. Glory Road, all you basketball fans, let's watch Josh Lucas take the first all-African-American starting five to the NCAA Final Four.
And I have a feeling that this pick, we are safe that no other podcasts are going to be watching this movie this week.
That is fair, because it's not a big one. True Grit is on Hulu, so you can watch True Grit on Hulu.
Oh, yeah, got to watch that. So, I don't have any shows this week, Casey.
Yeah. I was telling my friend who did a magic trick for me on Zoom last night to listen to the Magic podcast.
Oh, so, yes. Check out my other podcast, The Setup.
The Setup. So definitely hope you get a new listener. He did one of those 29 cards, three piles of cards. Which card is your card? Is it in here? And I was like, yeah, that's a... It's an algorithm. So he's doing an algorithm.
Well, he did it for a math major, so.
It's true. It's true. we'll catch you, I guess approximately 7 to 10 days from now, because we've been recording these podcasts on the days that end in zero.
That's right.
Which is because we did the 20th, the 30th, and now we're doing the 10th. So
I feel like we're sort of approaching a more relaxed schedule.
A little more relaxed, because like right now is about the time when we'd be going to a week. It's playoffs, baby.
That's right.
But unfortunately, we don't have any real basketball to talk about unless this Taiwanese basketball league shows up the way that people are saying it's going to.
Oh, I haven't heard of this.
Oh, yeah. It's the only pro league that's playing right now. Taiwan. Check it out.
Because I don't think we're going to be having a UFC style. I believe there's a talk of a UFC thing where he's going to like take 16 fighters and put them all in like in a village.
You know, The Ultimate Fighter was bad when it ran on FS1. Like, yeah. It's going to be bad now. This, what a disaster. Fucking Dana White.
Dana White and fucking Joe Rogan.
Oh my God.
They can get both.
Get them the fuck out of here.
Joe Rogan honestly can just fuck off forever.
Yeah, cool. But if that's the official, state of the Rule of Threes podcast, that Joe Rogan can fuck off forever. That's our opinion. We stand by it.
Yeah, we stand by that. And also that is it Chandler Parsons that you hate?
No, I don't hate Chandler Parsons. Wait, he's harmless. Who cares about Chandler Parsons?
Who's the player that you just hate? Forget.
I mean. They exist. I don't know who it is.
Well, we know that I hate Chris Paul, even though Chris Paul did, according to The Athletic, when they were all sequestered in their locker rooms waiting to figure out what happened on the night of the Jazz Thunder game, Chris Paul sent a delivery of beer and wine to the Jazz locker room for them to enjoy while they waited.
Wow.
So
see, that's standard Chris Paul shit, just trying to get the other team drunk so he can take advantage of them in the playoffs.
Yeah, then he's hoping, first of all, to soften them up because they like him more. Possibility that they were going to be like, oh, the game's back on. And oh, we're all drunk now. Oh, well, let's play the game anyway.
What a dickhead.
Yeah.
No, that was very nice of him.
I mean, we'd probably love Chris Paul if we met him in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's probably, but that doesn't change the fact that he's an asshole on the court.
There we go. That's my guy. Never back down.
All right. I think that's it for this week. High Flying Bird, check it out. And before next week's episode, please find and watch a copy of Glory Road.
Glory Road. All right.
We'll see you next time.
Catch you later, Chris.
All right. Bye.